Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to episode number 152 of the Philosophy Show today. It is Wednesday night, Thursday morning, August 25th, 2016. My name is Thomas, your host here, and today our show's episode is called Original Hypocrites Saying the Same Shits. And so that's the name of the episode right now. Thank you very much. This is a half an hour show. It's a call-in show. If you want to call in, if you have something to say, a topic to talk about, suggestion, etc., some news, the call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. 646-929-1344. 1344. A couple of topics I want to bring up today. One is what you can do to try to help the third party candidates for running for president get in the debates. You know, call the debate commission. Call them at area code 202-872-1020. Maybe I will do that. Make a live call here. If I can find my phone. And then you can also email to media@debates.org or the executive director, Janet Brown, at jb@debates.org. And just demand that, you know, if there's people that have the statistical chance to win, that we ought to hear them in the debates. You know, we're paying for the whole election process and stuff, and you know, I want to hear about my options. So yeah, I did find my phone, my cell phone, and we'll go ahead and call in to that later. And then something else, kind of want to, I don't know if you ever watch YouTube or anything, or read an article online where there's a comment section below, and you know, and I think, I believe in free speech. I think it should be there. You're seeing what's out there. Although sometimes when you see the vocal minority, you take that as the silent majority. That might be, you know, the views of like 20% of the population, while 80% doesn't even want to waste the time. Just kind of like the people that elected Trump and Hillary Clinton were only 9% of the entire population this year. So out of all the people that we have in the United States to run for president, you know, we have Clinton versus Trump, the two most unpopular candidates ever. And it was 9% of our population that chose both of them. It's most people don't even participate. Although you are participating by not participating, because look, who we've ended up with, Trump and Clinton. And, you know, just hypocrisy, like in the comment section. I mean, well, in fact, most of the comment section are probably young people. And, yeah, it's mostly young people. And then there's that news in the Philippines, that Duterte guy is like, you know, if you're watching like a dictatorship happen in real time there. I mean, this guy is like declaring like a war on drugs, but it's gone overboard. He's like telling the citizens, like, if you see someone taking drugs or whatever, you can kill them and you won't be charged, and I've got your back. Stuff like that. It's, I mean, that's what I'm seeing reported. You know, so people could just plant stuff and make stuff up about others that they just don't like. So that's complete craziness. And he's using that to gain power because he's doing the same thing with his political enemies. I'm sure he's accusing a lot of people that he just doesn't like about the same thing. And just using the whole drug war as an excuse. You know, and then hypocrisy. I also want to talk about something else I see in videos a lot. I'm starting to see more of a meme, probably more young people, but the whole, like, you know, the Black Lives Matter versus, like, the anti-Black Lives Matter, social justice warriors, and so on and so on. So, actually, let's call the Presidential Debate Commission and request that they include Gary Johnson and Jill Stein in the debates. You know, those are the other two people besides Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton that have a mathematical chance to win. They're on enough ballots. Gary Johnson's on all 50. He's going to be on the ballot in all 50 states. So I'm going to give him a call right now. I don't know if you'll hear it on the speakerphone here. Call the debate commission. Okay, it's ringing right now. I don't know if you can hear. I don't know if you can hear this. I'm calling the debate commissions.
Thank you for calling the Commission on Presidential Debates. Please leave a message.
Okay, yeah, my name's Thomas, and I'm a Florida resident here, and, you know, I'm just calling in for just a suggestion that you let Gary Johnson, the former New Mexico governor, two-term governor, and actually Jill Stein, I'd say more so Gary Johnson, he's in all 50, on the ballot in all 50 states. They both have a mathematical chance to win. They're the only two others that do. Let them into the debates. You know, it's only 9% of the population that selected Trump and Hillary. They're the two most unpopular candidates. There's just so many reasons. Go down the list, but you know, over 50% of new registered voters count themselves as independents, and yes, and you know, a lot of our public tax dollars are going into these debates and this whole process. And so, yeah, I would like to see Gary Johnson on the debates. I'm not saying you should vote for him. I'm just saying the process is what I'm more interested in, is that I would like to see him in the debates. There's only going to be three of them, and he's a legitimate candidate. And I think you would create more legitimacy for yourself, or you know, the opposite if you don't have them on the debates. But if you do have them on the debates, then it shows that maybe you're being a good steward with it. But anyways, those are my opinions, and I think, you know, especially just, let's just say this year, I mean, he is more than qualified. He's probably the most qualified up there, and if you include their whole ticket. So anyways, you know, I greatly appreciate it if he's going to be in the debates. You know, I think Jill Stein should as well because of the mathematical chance to win. And, you know, and some of the polls haven't been as fair because they're not mentioned in the polls in the first place or in a prominent spot. And just that can make a big difference. I mean, come on, look at how some people respond to some of these polls. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Take care and have a good day. All right, so it's just that simple. If you want to do the same thing or something similar, say something maybe with your own words, but call the debate commission at area code 202-872-1020 or email them at, which is media, M-E-D-I-A, media at debates.org. You can also email the executive director, JB, which stands for Janet Brown, at debates, debates.org. And so that's that. That's that, folks. That was probably the most important part of the call of the show today. So we got about 20 more minutes if you feel like calling in. So Hypocrites Original is the name of the title, the original Hypocrites. You know, I'm a hypocrite. Everyone's a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite, you know, but you have to be very focused not to ever be. I mean, here's one thing I want to, there's this guy named Colin Flaherty. He wrote this book, Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. And I don't know if he, you know, I've seen him in a couple interviews. I don't know if he hates black people or he's just probably trying to say, I'm just trying to bring attention to the situation and, you know, be realistic about stuff. But, I mean, just that's a very antagonistic title, Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. And all it is basically, you know, because it's a, I wrote this on his YouTube channel in his little discussion section. Here's a timeline of events. Some black people feel disproportionately unjustly treated by the system and speak out against it, some eloquently and others not so much, some even going to the point of acting just like the very people that they're protesting about. Some, not all, but some. Some white people feel guilty about the whole thing and then they blame blacks and try to socially shame them into taking self-responsibility. Some explain it eloquently, others don't. And then they blame blacks, and then they end up, if you look at some of these comment section, they end up acting just like the people that they claim that they're complaining about. And then blacks, some black people now need to save face after hearing some criticism and double down on their positions while some others adjust and take the criticisms and change their views a little bit. The same thing with some white people need to save face and double down on their positions. So it's kind of like a new government program. Once it's created, it like kind of creates a life of its own. Once you create some new meme, like calling someone a social justice warrior or this or that, now there's a whole industry built about it. Think of how many videos there are just about social justice warriors, and now there's going to be like whole podcast dedicated to it. It creates a whole economy. And now, since if you're one of these show hosts, you know, you got to keep your business going. And so now you have to double down and, you know, even though it's probably no big thing in the first place, but you've got to double down and keep your livelihood, your sustenance, giving a reason for yourself to exist, trying to justify it, you know, just like some kind of new government program. So what we need to do is stop the vicious cycle. Now, you know, this is a secular show, but I'm not afraid to talk about religion and politics and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, just because, and you might be a person who thinks, you know, oh, Black Lives Matter, you know, I don't like the way they're, I mean, look at some of these comment sections comparing them to the new KKK and stuff. I mean, it's nothing alike at all. And then you're judging a whole group, handful of people by comparison. I mean, that's the same thing people did with the Tea Party, is compare the whole group compared to what some of the fringe elements said. I mean, if you actually go to the Black Lives Matter website, look up the 10 big misconceptions about them, or if you look up the their list of demands, they're all reasonable reforms. I mean, you know, and, you know, so even if you don't like some of the Black Lives Matter movement, we still do need reform regarding the war on drugs, militarization of police, asset forfeiture, quotas that cops need to meet. You know, they deny that they have quotas, but I'm sure they do. And So no matter who you are on what side of the topic, stop saying the same shit everyone else does and say something original. You know, the people who criticize social justice warriors now are becoming social justice warriors about social justice warriors. So I wrote here, do you know what intelligence is? It is being civilized, having peaceful protests. When Jesus, whether you're a fan or not, but Jesus does give a great example here, said to turn the other cheek. You know what that means? I'm not saying I know 100% what was intended there, but I have an idea of what that might mean. It doesn't mean that Jesus is still not going to throw the money changers out of the temple, right? He didn't turn the other cheek then. Now, what it means is to stop the vicious cycle. Stop trying to save face. Stop being a hypocrite. It doesn't make you seem smarter. It might feel good in the short term. However, you have to believe that people will eventually, in the long run, after digesting all that they observe, will see who is more civilized in a debate. It might take them months or even years sometimes, but they will see it. And you who are being vicious towards each other are going to end up regretting it. And civilized means win-win-win situations. Realizing working on consensus is work that will most likely get finished instead of just having this vicious cycle and be long-lasting, being realistic and efficient and stepping out of the box. You know, and some people complain like that, oh, well, Black Lives Matter shouldn't complain because there's more white people actually being killed by cops. Anyways, if you look at the stats, well, then maybe you should join Black Lives Matter in their movement peacefully, because if the Black Lives Matter movement gets the reforms that they're asking for, it's going to help everyone. It's not just going to help black people. It's going to help everyone, even the white people that are being killed by cops. Maybe some black people have a smaller tolerance for being abused. Have you ever thought about that? That's the same way our founding fathers our founding fathers had a smaller tolerance for being abused. They put up with a lot less shit, and then they decided to revolt. We've put up with about 10 times as much crap as they ever did, you know, and we're still putting up with it, and now we're being apologists for the abuse. So, and then, you know, I kind of rephrase this, but that guy, Colin Flaherty, on his YouTube page, I mean, all it is every video is he's just finding, you know, news articles and stuff of black people committing crimes. That's all it is. Every single, like, video is just about specifically only black people committing crimes. And then when you look at the comment section, they're just filled with scum of the earth, violence, assholes. And then he just leads them on. Like, whenever he responds back, he never corrects anyone. So him to pretend that, you know, he wants some kind of harmony at the end of this, that he actually wants, you know, blacks to commit less crime, so he says, I think is complete bullshit. He just wants the attention, he wants the subscribers, he wants to market off this, and he wants to keep that money train going and this attention that he never had. And because you want to call blacks, you know, the most violent, I've got FBI statistics and stuff like that. Well, you know what? I'm going to challenge you that. I'm challenge that premise a little bit. Yes, let me see here. There's another thing in some other comment section I responded back to here. Let's see. Okay, so here's someone that says, blacks commit way, way, way more crimes than whites. That is the problem, black criminality. So here's what I wrote back, and just check out this idea here. Whites get way, way, way more corporate welfare, including government contracts and bailouts, almost $1 trillion a year federally, which you can consider theft taken from one party and given to another, including private prisons, and then the people who get those government contracts reinvest that money back into buying politicians, which is bribery, to get more contracts, and then they just exponentially keep getting more contracts once they get the first one, and they're in, and they're getting corporate welfare. And so blacks are disproportionately arrested for drug offenses, which, by the way, should be illegal. The violation of property rights, you know, your body is your property. You should be able to do what you want to your body, you know. And that's a crime against your humanity. They also are disproportionately targeted for minor offenses and fines, like stop and frisk policy. If you look at the statistics, like in New York, of how many people were stopped for stopped and frisk, most of them were 90%, 90-something percent innocent. I mean, that's a violation of someone, and there's thousands over the last, like, decade. I mean, each of those are a crime. If a cop commits a violation of the Fourth Amendment, that's a crime, but that's not going to be reported in the statistics about crimes from the FBI. If politicians commit bribery, that's not statistics about crimes. And some crimes have a lot more weight than other crimes. Some crimes are a lot more concentrated. Some crimes aren't even crimes. So if you take out half the people that are in prison are in therefore nonviolent drug crimes. So let's get rid of that whole half out of the statistics, you know, and just only talk about violent crime. You know, it creates a vicious cycle. So blacks inherit on average 15 times less than whites, which creates another vicious cycle, because we know that education is funded by property taxes. So if they inherit 15 times less, the inheritance of money and psychology matter. You know, the last black slave in America died in 1971. The war on drugs was to target blacks and revolutionary whites. There are Nixon tapes that prove it. Richard Nixon, the former president, started the war on drugs in the 1970s to target blacks. If you look at the crime rates and the family cohesion rates before the war on drugs compared to after, you'll see different things. You know, so now with the war on drugs, which they are arrested for like 10 times as much as whites, even though whites use drugs at a higher rate, you know, they're left with a permanent record, which it makes it hard to get a job sometimes. They're breaking up families because they actually do go to prison. Some people think we don't send people to prison for drug offenses, but more than 50% of the people that are in prison are in there for nonviolent drug offenses. And so did you know that there were cities like, you know, Black Wall Street and stuff? Now, you know, and blacks have fought bravely in the wars, like the Iraq War, which is, okay, so are you going to consider the Iraq War, which we unjustly went into and killed 1 million people? Is that going to be considered a crime? Because just that figure blows all the other figures out of the water. And what about the torture we did and the Abu Ghraib prison torture and all that? Are you going to consider that crime? I mean, if you consider those crimes, then, I mean, those are stuff that's just not in the statistics. So, let's see here. You know, they steal our tax dollars. The government does. Okay, well, here. If you consider going to war over oil, I mean, that's like a mugging, right? That's like a Central Park mugging. Instead of stealing a purse, you know, we're killing someone and taking their resources. Killing 1 million people in Iraq, is that a violent crime? What about letting our troops in harm's way unnecessarily? Is that a violent crime? You know, on average, there's 20 soldiers that commit suicide a day. So allowing that to happen, is that a violent crime? What about stealing our tax dollars and putting us in debt while bailing out big banks against our will, would that be considered a violent crime, stealing people's livelihoods? What about arresting and putting people in a cage for nonviolent actions like the drug war and giving them a record? So is anything that the government does violent and could be considered a crime when it violates our Bill of Rights with illegal search and seizure and asset forfeiture and putting people in debtor's prison or eminent domain or taking property for people not paying their property taxes? Are those violent crimes? Or how about just this, preventing entrepreneurs from making a livelihood and supporting their families because of the overregulation and preventing people from getting, what about preventing people from getting the medication that they need because of the medications are either illegal or they're just way overregulated by the FDA. Is that not a violent crime? What about no-knock raids for drug offenses? You know, there's about 40,000 no-knock raids a year, and most of them have to do with the drug war. So these are facts that I just mentioned. I mean, these are reported in the news all the time. These are just right out in front. And so, I mean, that's talking about being a hypocrite. You know, and all these people, you know, who are saying, oh, blacks commit so much crime and stuff. You know, you're not looking what your tax dollars are paying for, and you're not looking at the statistics fairly, you know, or objectively, and you're just spewing the same stuff over and over that you think you're being original, but you're not being original at all. You're just regurgitating memes that other people say. And both sides, you know, are being puppeted by the puppeteers, I would say. I mean, everyone is at times. You know, so just, I mean, you look in the comment section, they're just filled with hate. And a lot of them, and a lot of them are probably just teenagers. You can't tell how old someone is looking at the comment section. Right? I mean, like, what, you know, you might be arguing with a 14-year-old for all you know. So, you could be helping make the world a better place. So if you're going to argue back in the comment section, try to stay above it and just stick with the issues, because you have to have faith that when someone thinks about it a year from now, months from now, however long, they're going to realize who is a mature person. You don't always have to spell it out for them. You don't call someone a name back. You know, you turn the other cheek in the comment section. You know, I'm not saying if someone assaults you, don't defend yourself. I'm not saying don't stick up for justice. I'm saying in the comment section, you know, argue back the ideas. Call them out if they're arguing something that's not ideas. Try to be the diplomatic, a statesperson, you know. And when the people see the interaction in the comment section between you and the other person, they're going to know who's a more mature person. That other person's actually exposing themselves and the type of person they are. And so that's the show for today. In the long run, they'll be seen as, you know, the savages, the lower, you know, lower common denominator. You know, a hypocrite. They're the ones who are acting violent. They're being just like what they're accusing others of doing. They're not adding anything to get rid of strife. You know, so anyways, I hope you call the debate commission and you know, really give your opinion about letting Gary Johnson and Jill Stein in the debates. But anyways, take care. This has been the Philosophy Show, episode 152. I hope you have a good week and beyond. We'll talk to you later. Call, share some show ideas. Love to hear it. All right, well, take care.